Welcome to this episode of the Commander's Cash, the podcast dedicated to keeping our community strong and resilient. I'm Colonel Cole, and today we're exploring a new approach to building strong relationships for couples, a crucial aspect of the resilience of Army families and the well-being of our community. I'm delighted to be joined today by Dr. Casey Taft, founder of Strength at Home, Ms. Margot Turner, our Fort Wainwright Outreach Coordinator for Strength at Home, and returning to the podcast, Chaplain Major Kenneth Gillespie, our Military Family Life Chaplain at Fort Wainwright. Welcome to you all.
Hi.
Hi, thank you.
Well, thank you, sir.
So let's dive right in for Dr. Taft. You know, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and what led you to develop the Strength at Home programs, specifically focusing on military families?
Sure, yeah. Well, I come from a military family myself. My father was drafted in Vietnam. My mother actually carried me during the war in Vietnam as a nurse there. And I was born on Old Madigan at JBLM.
Okay.
And I've been working at the VA for many years now, over 25 years. I've been at the VA in Boston, Massachusetts. And I really saw that there was a need for developing more military-specific, veteran-specific programs for improving relationships, and in particular, preventing conflict, working with couples as early as possible to prevent things from going down the wrong path, right?
Yeah.
To prevent problems from developing that could ultimately lead to more conflict, more arguments, and ultimately more aggressive behavior in the relationship. So that was really kind of the mission. And when I was first starting out in this field, there were a lot of reports in the media about conflict, about problems that military couples were having in returning service members from Iraq and Afghanistan. And I don't know if you remember, there were these domestic homicides that occurred at Fort Bragg, what was known as Fort Bragg back then. And there was a lot of focus on that. And at the time, there were opportunities for funding prevention programs and programs to help military families. And that's really where Strength at Home began.
Okay, that's great. And thank you for doing that and serving the military community. And our veterans with working with the VA. So you're a clinical psychologist by training?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Does that mean anything to me? Sorry, I'm a military logistician. psychologists, I mean, what are the differences in the fields out there? And
yeah.
Being a clinical psychologist, is that different than another psychologist?
And my position is maybe a little bit different than some others. So I work at a place called the National Center for Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, well, they're a government-funded, a congressionally funded institution where there's actually sites all around the country. But the National Center for PTSD started in the late 70s or early 80s to address PTSD, to help lead the field in defining, assessing, treating PTSD. And my job is, as a psychologist, I'm a clinical research psychologist.
Okay.
So I do clinical work. So usually in the evenings, I'm running groups, I'm running my own programs. And during the days, I run research programs, such as clinical trials and implementation projects. And what we're doing at Fort Wainwright is more of an implementation where we have this program. We know it's effective because we've studied it heavily for many years now. And now we need to figure out how do we implement this successfully on a military installation before it gets disseminated more broadly across the entire Army or military overall.
Yeah, great. Okay, I'm going to jump over to Margot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
To talk a little bit about this. So Margot, my opinion, you've been instrumental in bringing this program to Fort Wainwright. You know, what's motivated you to transition from the Army community, what Army Community Service provides, to help establish the Strength at Home here at Fort Wainwright?
As a military spouse myself, I understand the stigma that comes along with seeking assistance and reaching out for help if you're starting to struggle. I also know what it's like when your spouse is gone, you know, a year remote tour or all the TDYs being in the field, not being together all the time creates those situations where it's hard to communicate sometimes, and it can be hard to reach out to military providers because of confidentiality concerns for some people. So one of the things that prompted me to be interested in Strength at Home and working with Dr. Taft was the degree of separation that it offers to military families. It helps with being able to get those relationship strengthening classes and connect with a clinician who has experience without being as concerned about your command having the ability to go and ask questions or knowing where you're at. It also has the flexibility of being available after hours, so you're not having to take off work or say you have an appointment to go to your Strength at Home class.
As a Army leader, even though leaders, we like to tell our soldiers, you know, that's not a barrier. If you have an appointment, I'll afford you the time to have an appointment, right? But for soldiers, they hear that. Sometimes they understand that, but it may be an internal obstacle mm-hmm. with them of actually saying, yep, let me go ahead and schedule an appointment during regular, I'll just call them regular work hours, even though we're salaried employees, we're on duty 24/7, right? But, you know, basically during the work day, you know, sometimes that doesn't work for soldiers just because, you know, they don't want to go tell their leaders, hey, I'm not going to be there for that, I have an appointment. So that's great that the program, you know, has the ability to after hours. So that's awesome. So I'm going to ask Chaplain Gillespie here. You know, you're our military and family life chaplain here at Fort Wainwright. You know, how do you see Strength at Home complementing the support services you and other chaplains provide?
I think it's a fantastic resource. It sounds like there could be some great opportunities for implementation and for just collaboration or coordination with other services. In many ways, in thinking of dealing with some of these sensitive problems amongst our military population, I think it's important that we have overlapping type of services. Certain things that, you know, this particular soldier or family might be comfortable with, another may not. And so having an opportunity through either a, you know, military family life chaplain or our military and family life counselors that that are also available assets, our, you know, embedded behavioral health, you know, program, or programs like this, I think all of them can address these issues in different ways, which allows for the greatest variety of tools available for our soldiers and their families to help them deal with not just this issue, but to learn the necessary life skills to navigate the challenges of this military life.
Yeah, that's great. So, Dr. Tab, you know, hearing that, but I kind of want to know the Strength at Home program, you know, does it help couples and service members work to building more resilience? Because the Army is about resiliency, and I think the DoD is about resiliency as well. And can you share some specifics, you know, from your studies and other locations that this program is already in place?
Sure, absolutely. And just to echo what Chaplain Gillespie just said, we want to be viewed as a resource. We're not trying to duplicate what other people are doing, because we know a lot of great work is already being done here. So I hope folks view us as a resource and an additional service that might be able to complement what's already happening here. And we want to do it in a way where we're not taxing the local resources, right? So we learned this lesson from implementation at other sites. We had a big implementation at JBLM, and we realized that we needed to bring the resources. We needed to bring the providers, the therapists doing the program, and not really ask anything of the local climate, because we know everybody is taxed, you know, everybody is overworked, you know, stressed out. So we don't want to make the burden any greater on anybody. We want to be viewed as an asset, you know, to help lessen the burden on others. But to answer your question, Colonel Cole, the program is about resilience. It's really it's thought of as a relationship strengthening program, a conflict prevention program. Our initial funding for developing this program was from the Centers for Disease Control as more of a preventative intervention to help prevent problems in military couples. And the way we do that is we don't only focus on the problems in the couples. So, and of course, couples coming to us, they're coming to us because they're probably having some problems, maybe difficulties communicating, or they're getting into more arguments than they would like to have, or they're starting to get a little bit, more hostile towards each other, maybe more likely to use put downs or not really treat each other the way, you know, they ideally would treat each other. So we not only focus on working on those problems and helping communication, but also helping couples recognize the strengths that they already have that they may not really be aware of. So for example, every week we have them participate in an exercise called You've Been Caught Doing Something Nice, where every day we have each member of the couple write down something nice they noticed their partner do for them that day and thank the person for doing that nice thing. Because what we often see in our couples is they tend to focus on the problems, wanting to fix the problems, right? And I know that's a very military thing to do, right? You want to fix the problems, you want to solve the problems, but oftentimes you don't necessarily show appreciation for all the nice things your partner is doing on a day-to-day basis that maybe they may take for granted. So a big part of it is just to have couples try to learn to appreciate each other, try to increase those positive behaviors and recognize those positive behaviors when they're happening.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to take a step back a little bit and talk about the clinical trials, Dr.
Sure.
Tapp. Mm-hmm. So this study's been through clinical trials. Mm-hmm. It's evidence-based. What results have you seen in the clinical setting for this program?
So I mentioned the CDC initially funded us, and that was our first big clinical trial. And we did that study at the VA with returning veterans and their partners. And then the second clinical trial we did was at JBLM, which I mentioned, because we showed it was effective in the VA, but we wanted to see how does this work on a military installation, right? And from both of those studies, we essentially found the same things, and that is the program helped to prevent aggression in relationships, whether it's physical aggression, whether it's psychological aggression, such as more controlling behavior, like telling your partner where they could go or what they could do, or constantly checking on them or going through their phones or what have you, or using put downs, those sorts of things. So it helped prevent those kind of negative conflict behaviors that couples may use with each other, but it also helps to improve their satisfaction, their happiness in relationships. There's also some evidence that the program even helps couples express feelings more effectively with each other, because this is often a big issue with our couples where they tend to keep everything in and stuff their feelings, and things can build and build and then eventually all come out at once, which is not, you know, usually a good result. So I think couples get much better at expressing their feelings to each other. They feel more connected with each other, and there's less conflict and aggressive behavior with each other.
I'm going to go off a little bit here. Yes. Chaplain Gillespie, check me if I'm right here. Some of the examples that you're saying as a military member, you know, seem to me are learned behaviors from our experiences in the military, right? You know, and you mentioned, you know, military, like to solve problems. You know, we're very task oriented.
Right.
And if you're in the way of the task, you're a problem. You know, I'm accomplishing the task. But some of the other things you were talking about, describing sort of the relationships, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking squad leader with soldier, you know, squad member. Those are some of the things are how our squad leaders lead our soldiers. And so that's learned behaviors that I think we're probably, our soldiers are taking into relationships. And I also heard communication, yes, right, in some of your results. So Chaplain Gillespie, check me if I'm wrong with hearing that.
No, sir, I think kind of the insight that you're moving towards right now is spot on. We learn communication skills from a variety of different places, our family of origin, our culture, cultural context, and the military is in many ways a subculture, right? We develop communication skills conducive to success in rank and just military leadership, certain expectations and how we communicate and how we respond within this subculture that are not necessarily conducive to relationship success in an intimate relationship with a spouse or, you know, or significant other, or with children for that matter. So soldiers having an opportunity to learn, to kind of bridge that learning gap, right? To develop the skills necessary to be successful in interpersonal relationships that are outside the structure of kind of the military supervision model that we often learn kind of in that early years as a soldier.
Hierarchical.
Exactly.
Relationship is not necessarily hierarchical. Yeah. So, Margo, you want to say anything on that, being a spouse of a military member?
No, I think that's exactly in line with the goal for part of the program. Service members do frequently bring their approach to communication, their approach to life from work home with them. And I mean, we see that in families, especially with children. There's always jokes about military parents being like extra strict and they run their house like it's their platoon or whatever. So I think being able to build those skills and learn an alternative way to communicate, especially with somebody that you love and you care about and you want to have a strong, healthy relationship with, is extremely important. And Dr. Taft's clinical trials show that being able to do that reduces those negative factors and increases happiness, increases healthiness in those relationships at home.
Yeah. Well, that's encouraging to hear. So I'm going to go back to you, Dr. Taft, from your perspective. You know, how might this program look different here at Fort Wainwright in Alaska in this environment compared to, we'll just say JBLM because we mentioned it a couple of times?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the reason we're here at Fort Wainwright was really from DOD leadership told us to do this here. So we had the grant funded through a Department of Defense grant, a pretty good amount of money to bring resources to whatever site. And there were kind of high, folks in the Pentagon who had been stationed here, and they said, we think this would be really helpful at Fort Wainwright. And part of it is one of the important things we're trying to figure out is how do you successfully implement a program and get people to come forward and volunteer and get this kind of help. And I was told, and I've kind of discovered this myself, what a supportive community that you all have here. There's a lot of support from leadership, from military couples, from the FRGs, from kind of all these folks that we've been meeting with since I've been here the last few days. So I think us kind of collectively figuring out how you can successfully implement a program like this, I think this is an ideal location for that. And of course, I've heard all about, the unique challenges, the dealing with the climate and the weather and folks being kind of inside a lot of the time. So I understand that couples here might have unique stressors, and we know that when folks are more, isolated from other people or isolated from family members, that can be a particular challenge. And the fact that our program is virtual and folks can attend it virtually from anywhere, and that it's confidential, I think are real benefits for folks who are here and may not have connections with their support networks or not have as much ability to kind of be out and about. So I think there's some real benefits for folks who are here.
Yeah, I agree with you. I can't disagree. Mm-hmm. And thank you for the Army and DOD for sending the program here to Alaska. So recognizing that every couple's relationship is unique, right, with different life experiences and coping mechanisms, how does strength at home cater to both couples who may be struggling and those who already have a solid relationship but want to further enhance their relationships?
Yeah, I think the program can be helpful for both. And I often say this is a program that could be helpful for any relationship. And and I think all of us can work on our relationships. And a lot of the things we talk about in our program, I regularly practice myself, and I get reminded from our groups of things, to work on and things to practice for myself personally. And I'll use examples. I'll say, yes, this is something that I do, right? For example, learning how to take a time out in a relationship is very important for just about all relationships. Because just about all relationships, regardless of the level of distress you may be in or the problems you're having, there are times where we just need to take a break and kind of separate for a half hour or an hour and kind of cool off before we come back and revisit a discussion, right? So even healthy relationships, the healthiest relationships, need to learn to do that. And a big part of the program is just couples learning more about each other and their experiences. So a lot of what we do in Strength at Home is have couples practice talking about certain topics, almost like interviewing each other and reflecting back what each other is saying. And they're able to learn more about their differences and their similarities and why, maybe they may be struggling to communicate about an issue because they have different, like you said, different kind of backgrounds, different experiences, different histories. And just helping them understand each other better and express more feelings to each other can bring them closer together.
Okay. Margo, you got anything you want to add on that?
Absolutely. When you were asking the question, I was thinking about how a lot of people do have super healthy relationships and they're great, but no matter what, you still have conflict, you're still going to have disagreements, and learning to communicate through those when they do come up is extremely important. Being able to do it in a group setting, like do this, the strength at home couples in a group setting, helps be able to build off of what other people are doing and is working for them. You know, one couple may be like, oh, I've never thought to try that. I didn't realize that that was something people did. So being able to do that in a group setting lets them see what works for other people. And then they can also share what's working for them for other people who may need some ideas and suggestions. Everybody is going to deal with conflict at some point, and whether you've been married for a month or 10 years or 25 years, you constantly have to put effort into those relationships and work on them. So strength at home helps build that foundation, and you can always revisit those topics and be like, oh, remember we did this with strength at home, and so-and-so did this and that helped them. Let's try that the next time we have a disagreement. Mm-hmm.
Chaplain Gillespie, anything? I know you're not strength at home program, but
I do have a question for them, if I may. Mm-hmm. One is just in terms of the group, you know, structure. If I understand it right, 12 sessions is the ideal, or is it less than that?
It's eight.
Eight sessions. Okay.
It used to be 10 sessions, but we shortened it because, you know, it's hard to do a longer program on an installation.
And I think you're spot on there. That really is kind of what underlies my question. Just running programs like this in the military for, you know, a decade or more. I'm just curious what your experience has been with the number of people that begin this program and are able to complete it, and how that may or may not affect the overall impact in the lives of those couples.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is certainly an issue, right, where folks, for all different kinds of reasons, may have to separate, folks leave the installation, go on drill and that sort of thing. I think the fact that we're doing it virtually helps overcome some of this, right? So even if the couple isn't in the same place at all times, they could still participate from wherever they are. It's always a challenge with a population that's always kind of moving, right? Always kind of moving around and isn't necessarily staying in one place for a long time. That can be a challenge. But, you know, for a lot of our couples, it's really, if it's just one thing that they pick up, like, that can make an enormous difference. And it's different for every couple. For one couple, it might be the timeouts, like I just said. For another couple, it might just be learning how to listen better, learning how to reflect back what a partner is saying, learning how to paraphrase. So every session, I think, we see group members or couples have these almost kind of aha moments, and the light bulb goes off, and that may be the only thing they need to make the changes they need to make. So they don't necessarily need to attend every single session and get every bit of material. We can still see changes even if they just attend one session. And a big part of it, like Margo was just saying, is just what the couples get from each other. And usually what we see in Strength at Home, because these are classes with two or three couples in each class. And most of what they get out of the program, usually when we get to the end of the program, we ask them, what have you found to be most helpful about this program? They almost always say, you know, each other, right? It's the other couples in the group. It's not necessarily even what we provide to them. What's more important is what the couples provide to each other and the support they get. Having a military spouse hear from another military spouse or another service member about their experiences and how they handle things is very powerful. And often more powerful than what we can provide as the leader of the classes.
I think that's great. Yeah.
Any follow-ups?
No?
All right. Margo, I'm coming back to you. Someone's listening, and they want to learn more about the Strength at Home program here at Fort Wainwright. Where should they turn?
So there's a few different options. ACS has our flyers, of course, but the most effective way to get in touch with me directly to get signed up for an intake appointment would be to either reach out to our Facebook page, which we just created recently, Strength at Home Couples Alaska. You could also email me at strengthathomecouples@gmail.com, or you can call me or text me at 726, I know it's a Texas number, 726-610-9749.
That's great. Thank you for giving us that. So before we wrap up, does anyone have any final thoughts or advice for our listeners? Or questions for each other before we wrap up?
One thing I'd like to give you an opportunity to speak to, since I know this program was developed, or at least I think this program was developed, around the idea of reducing intimate partner violence, right, by strengthening, you know, families' ability to communicate and solve, you know, resolve conflict. I'm wondering if there's anything you would like to make sure the soldiers and families in our community know and understand about maybe some of the stigma associated with intimate partner violence and just marital or relationship issues at all.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, because it often is hard for folks to come forward and talk about these things. And there's also potential implications for coming forward and talking about these things, right, to financially, you know, military career-wise. So these are difficult topics, especially on an installation, right, where there's more at stake for disclosing these things. In our program, again, we have the advantage that the person who's running the group is not a military staff member, right? And we don't have the chain of command issue where the same reporting requirements. In our groups, we try to really have a lot of openness in talking about as honestly and as real as possible, you know, what they're dealing with, what their problems are. So again, I know it's not an easy thing to talk to, and there may be couples out there who may be interested in the idea of doing this, but maybe they're afraid of talking, you know, to in front of other, you know, people about these issues. It's not always easy, and what we usually tell them is, it's okay, right? You don't have to talk about anything you don't feel comfortable talking about. The program itself is not making people talk about trauma or anything else, really. It's up to couples about how they want to participate, what they want to disclose, what they want to talk about. Really, we just want to be here to be supportive and provide an atmosphere where, you know, they're also being supported by others who are dealing with some of the same things.
Okay. Anything else, Chaplain?
No, sir.
So back to my question. Anybody else want to have any advice or anything before we wrap up?
I do think it's important that you acknowledge that you are responsible for your relationship yourself, but you owe it to yourself, and you do deserve to be in a healthy relationship and deserve to be loved, but so does your partner. So it's important for you to take the step to strengthen that relationship. It's never too early to put in that effort, and it's also never too late. That when you feel like, oh, we need to do this, that's when it's the right time. You need to take those steps to put that work in and strengthen your relationship so that you aren't finding yourself in a situation where it's escalating to, you know, major red flags or constant arguments and disagreements. You want to have a stable, healthy home life so that you can come to work and have a better productive day at work, both of you, the service member and the partner. And so taking those steps to do that helps with just overall happiness and everyday life.
Okay. Well, thank you all for sharing your insights and the important work that every one of you, you're doing for our community here. So this wraps up this episode of the Commander's Cash. Remember, taking care of your physical, mental, and spiritual health is crucial, especially as we navigate the winter months here that we're going into at Fort Wainwright. So if you do have questions or need more information about Strength at Home for couples, don't hesitate to reach out to Margo, and I'm sure we'll have information, you know, in our podcast notes. If you don't want to rewind to the information Margo already gave to you. And our team is here to support you and ensure that you have everything you need to strengthen your relationship. So thank you once again for joining me today. Stay tuned for more episodes where we'll continue to explore topics that matter to you. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy, and take care of yourselves and each other.